The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. As the Jewish Passover was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple precincts, he came upon people engaged in selling oxen, sheep, and doves, and others sitting changing coins. He made a kind of whip of cords, drove them all out of the temple area, sheep and oxen alike, and knocked over the money changers' tables, spilling their coins. He told those who were selling doves, "Get them out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house consumes me." At this, the Jews responded, "What sign can you show us authorizing you to do these things? Destroy this temple," was Jesus' answer, "and in 3 days I will raise it up." They retorted, "This temple took 46 years to build, and you are going to raise it up in 3 days? Actually, he was talking about the temple of his body. Only after Jesus had been raised from the dead did his disciples recall that he had said this and come to believe the scripture and the word he had spoken. While he was in Jerusalem during the Passover festival, many believed in his name, for they could see the signs he was performing. For his part, Jesus would not trust himself to them because he knew them all. He needed no one to give him testimony about human nature. He was well aware of what was in man's heart." The Gospel of the Lord. We pray for the Lord to give us a proper understanding of this gospel, of his actions. What we see here is the zeal of the Lord for his Father's house. The apostles recalled Psalm 68:10, "Zeal for your house will consume me." This is because of the love of Jesus for his Father. And he knew that the temple was a holy, sacred place where the people should come to enter into the presence of the Lord, to realize that they are not just creatures in this world eating and buying and selling and dying and that is it, but that they're truly sons and daughters of God, capable of this communion with God, this communion of love. That is why Jesus manifests this anger. He wants to awaken the hearts of his people, awaken them because they have retorted back to the mundane life as usual. And this is the danger that we have been meditating through this retreat. And the call of the Lord to fix our eyes on Him and the sacred, to recognize our identity, realize that the market, it's something necessary. Don't you go to the market all the time? Where do you buy your food? You need the market. The market is a human necessity. It is in itself something good in so far as it fulfills the needs of men in the natural dimension. The problem here is when you make the temple into a marketplace that doesn't belong. Keep sacred what is sacred. There's nothing wrong with having wine after meals, for example, a little bit of wine and in the family table. But if you take the chalice and you take it to your table to have some wine, there is something wrong, because you are taking the sacred and making it just something of everyday use. Once we lose that distinction between the sacred and the things of every day, then even the things of every day become empty. It is a proper understanding of the sacred, of our relationship with God, and keeping holy what is holy and sacred, that then sanctifies even everything else. Even the meal that we have at home is holy and beautiful unto God, because it draws life from God. And this is what Jesus is worried about, that we can make the sacred into something profane. So when we come to Mass, we're entering into the holy ground, we're entering into the church, we lift our hearts to the Lord, we realize that God is about to speak to us, that God is about to work in our lives. He's going to become present, manifest Himself, and we're going to be transformed. And then we go to the world to sanctify the world, to bring that life and that sacredness unto the world. And hopefully, even the marketplace becomes a place where things are sold with honesty, where we are prudent and don't exceed our needs in the things that we buy. The Lord wants to keep that distinction. Jesus, therefore, is not primarily concerned with social reforms. He is primarily concerned, that we open again our hearts to the Father, to restore us as sons to the Father, to have us know that we are now a new people, created in God's image, and then everything else will follow. Seek first the kingdom of God. Keep holy what is holy, and then everything else will be ordered unto the Lord. When the temple was destroyed by the Romans years later, the Christians remembered the words of the Lord, and they realized that the temple was finished and that now we were being called to be living temples ourselves, a holy people. As St. Paul says to the Ephesians in chapter 2, we are living stones of the new edifice, which is the church. Another image that we have today is from the second reading, and it is Paul's message about the cross of Jesus Christ. He addresses the letter to the Corinthians, a community he himself had founded, as he says, with fear and trembling, because Corinthians was a very difficult city, a port city of much sin. of much debauchery. They had pagan worship that was very offensive to the Lord, even with religious prostitution going on. The Corinthians were avid to hear all kinds of philosophies, and they made an entertainment about this. The culture was so corrupted, and in spite of it all, St. Paul founded a small Christian community there. But very soon, he heard alarming news about the community, the things that were going on among the Christians. Some had reverted back to religious prostitution. Some were taking their brothers to court in pagan courts. There was a case of incest that was accepted, even though it was public in the community. They were so fascinated with the gifts of the Spirit and the charisms that were more visible that they were to the point of the ridiculous in the way they emphasized that at the expense of charity and justice. These problems even were manifested in their Eucharists as they drank in excess and they didn't care about the poorer members of the community. And many other things that he recounts in this in his letter. And he does address these issues, but he primarily addresses the fact that they have walked away from the cross. And in face of the scandal and the foolishness of the Corinthians, Paul takes recourse to the scandal and foolishness of the cross. Again, the teaching today is from St. Paul. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It was the will of God through the foolishness of the proclamation to save those who have faith. For Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. And so, the scandal of the cross, the foolishness of the cross, is triumphant over the scandal and the foolishness of men. This is the great mystery that we need to ponder. The cross is the expression of the love of God, and the love of God is revealed precisely in this seeming scandal, the seeming weakness of God on the cross. St. Paul himself had experienced this in his own flesh. He says again to the Corinthians in his second letter, God said to me, or the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. God chose the lowly, despised of the world, he says to the Corinthians in the first letter, those who count for nothing, to reduce to nothing those who are something. So how do we face today the corruption and the scandal of our culture, of our world, with the scandal of the cross, which is more powerful than the world? And as we gaze upon the Lord on the cross, we receive the revelation of the fullness of love. And it is this love manifested to us that brings us back to our senses, brings us back from the madness and the scandal of the world. Because of our weakness, we are helpless. The current would draw us and take us away. And arguing against it, philosophizing against it, erudition is not going to help. We need the power of the cross. Only the scandal of the cross can shake us up and give us the power from God to love in such a way that we again have the capacity to rebuke the world and embrace the cross of this rejection of the world that wants to draw us and live a holy life unto God. This is the power of the cross. If Corinthians needed it, do we not need it today in Miami? How much we need to embrace this power of the cross to be triumphant with Christ. Amen.